look at a story where he rescued a sinner. And I want to, Lord willing, make application in this text to our lives. I'll look at Luke chapter 13 and verse number 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Long time, man. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. What a jerk. Really, what a jerk. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a child of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you in prayer, thanking you, Lord, first of all, and praising you for rescuing a sinner like me. That line in there about he abandoned his throne and his kingdom above to rescue a sinner like me. Lord, I was bound up with an infirmity and I could no wise straighten myself or loose myself from it, and you did. And Lord, I'm not the only one. You've loosed a whole lot of us in this room, probably the vast majority of us in this room, from the bondage of our sin, Lord, and given us a home in heaven. If there's somebody here this morning that has never been loosed from their sin, I pray that today would be the day. I pray you'd get a hold of them. I pray you'd loosen them up, Lord. Help them to realize what it means to be set free. And Lord, at those here that are saved, some of us, God, still get bound up after salvation. The devil comes after us, the flesh comes after us, the world comes after us and gets us back in a mess again. And so, Lord, this morning I pray for those that are saved that you'd help them to get loosed again, that you do deliver them, Lord, from some of the things that are coming after them in their life and that are messing them up and that are holding them back and that are crippling them and maybe the devil's attack at them and to get them out of serving you, Lord. I'm sure of that. I'm sure there's people here this morning being attacked by our adversary, the devil. And Lord, trying to get them out of what it is you've done for them, trying to get them out of church, out of serving you. Not only can he stop them from praising your name and giving you the glory you deserve if he wins, but he can also mess up their kids and anybody else that they might reach someday that needs Christ, Lord. What a great victory it is for the devil when he gets a hold of people and messes them up. And so, Lord, I pray for those here that are struggling with that, Lord. My heart's heavy this morning, and I'm burdened about some folks, Lord, I know that are struggling, and I'm sure there's more that I don't know about, but they're struggling. I pray you'd help them this morning, God. Do something in our service here that only you can do, Lord. We're looking to you. We can in no wise lift ourselves up, but, Lord, we don't want to stay in our mess. So help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you on the subject of staying messed up. It's not a matter of whether or not you and I are going to get messed up. I mean, if we're honest, we all know we've been messed up. That's why we needed salvation, amen? If you're not saved this morning, that's the start for you. I don't think for 2 seconds that just because you're here on Sunday morning or just because you've been faithful to come here on Sunday morning, even if you've been coming for years, that doesn't automatically mean everybody here is born again. Amen. And sometimes you get used to flying under the radar, so it's kind of hard to kind of come out of the closet, so to speak, and say, you know what, I've not really been honest about this thing. I've never really been born again. I hope this morning you've been born again. And if you slide off of this church pew into hell, I want to make sure you do so, and it's not my fault, but your own. That you heard it from me. And I'm telling you this morning, I don't care how put together your life may be or how much of a mess it may be, if you're not saved, you're messed up. And your eternity is not secure. Your eternity is the lake of fire. You got to get cleaned up, man. You got to get straightened up. And there's only one that can straighten you up, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you've been saved this morning, guess what happens to us after we get saved? We wind up messed up again. Now, this time I'm not messed up regarding my soul's eternal destination, but there's been a time or two in my life since I've been saved where I found myself messed up like this woman here in this passage of Scripture. You'll notice in verse number 10, the Lord's teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. He's doing the right thing, right? Amen. There's no trick question there. I said the Lord, so you can just automatically say yes when I say he's doing the right thing. Now look at verse 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. That is a long time to be messed up in a problem. Probably not as long as some of you have been messed up. Probably a little longer than others of you, and if you don't get some help for it, you're going to stay there until the 18-year mark hits you, or you're going to keep going. If you're past the 18-year mark, there ain't no hope for you. You're going to stay messed up unless you figure out something that gets figured out in this passage, and I want to help you with that. We need to figure something out this morning. I'm not content when I get messed up to stay messed up. What's her problem? Well, she has some kind of a physical problem. She's bowed together. So she's got some kind of an issue going on, a health problem in her body where she's walking like this. You ever see them really old folks that are all, they're walking like that and they're looking up? Man, every time I see that, just absolutely melts my heart. You know, that's probably a very embarrassing condition to have. You think about the chain reaction of pain that begins to work through your body. You know, if your back's all messed up and you're all bent over like this, that the pain isn't going to be isolated to your back. You realize your hips and your knees and your ankles and your feet aren't intended to bear the weight like this 24/7. You realize how much pain this poor woman had to be in? And you'll notice she's in that pain for 18 years. That is 6 plus 6 plus 6. There's a mark on this woman. There's an issue that this woman has. And notice at the end of verse 11, there's no help for her. She could in no wise lift herself up. She literally was beyond the point of being able to fix her problem. There was nothing that she could do. And can I say that reminds me many times of myself, and not just myself, but people that I've had the privilege of working with over the years. You come to a point where there's literally nothing you can say anymore. It's like, how do I fix this? You know what? I don't know. You're kind of past the point. This situation is beyond what you can do anything about. You are in over your head. These issues are heavier than what you can handle. Listen, something is wrong here, and this infirmity is not going to go away. Way, you're going to stay messed up. This woman didn't stay messed up. But see, in the story this morning, we're not just going to look at her. She's our hope. She's our introduction. Because thankfully, she gets the help she needs while a whole bunch of other people in this passage stay in their messed up state. And I'm going to show you them, and I'm going to show you that they stay in their messed up state and why. And the funny thing about their messed up state is this: the reasons they stay in their messed up state really are very much the same reasons you and I stay in our messed up state. And the reason this woman gets helped is the same reason some of us have been helped and have gotten out of our messed up state. But the vast majority of human beings in this world stay messed up. Can I tell you this morning, I'm not trying to be crude or inappropriate in any way, but we live in an absolutely, completely messed up world, and it is getting worse. Your minds, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, okay? I don't get into all that stuff. Do you believe it's true? Probably. I think the greatest conspiracy ever was between God and the devil about 6,000 years ago. It's been going on for centuries, as long as mankind's been around. Yeah, I believe they're all there. I don't get into them. But can I say, your minds are being programmed? You're more programmed than you realize you are. Born again, Bible-believing Christians in church who read their Bible, pray, and witness are more programmed than you realize you're programmed by the world, by the news media, by your smartphones, by the technology, by everything else going on. Everything's programmed. Your phone is programmed. You're marketed and advertised according to your human behavior patterns, your human interests, and every phone in here is different because of what you've been looking at and what you've been searching and the way you're being marketed and shot at and programmed. They find what your human mind wants, and then they continually drive that point until, folks, emotionally, adults are messed up. God never intended you to be into everybody's life, everybody else's life, as much as you are in this generation. You can't possibly be happy or stay happy. You can't possibly be standing up straight. You can't possibly be thinking straight. You can't possibly come into church on Sunday morning and say, praise God, glory to God, He's been so good to me, when you've been programmed into everybody else's life all the time. I know that just does not go over good. Everybody like freezes up when I get there. Listen, I'm going to park it here for a minute because I feel that I'm hitting a sore spot. The spiritual surgeon this morning, let's get this cancer out, amen? Listen, I don't even understand how preachers can get up and preach against gossip when they're on Facebook. If I've heard one preacher say it, I've heard a dozen or more. I'd rather have a bunch of drunks and a bunch of cigarette smokers, a bunch of people struggling with the sins of the flesh than this is how I've heard it said, so don't get offended, ladies, than one long-tongued woman. You know what they mean is that gossiping tongue. Well, nowadays, it ain't just the women. Back in the old days, you know, when the men went to work and the women stayed home, the preachers were all preaching about the women watching their sitcoms on TV, right? Number one. And number two, being on the phone. Remember that? I remember my mom being on the phone. She had this like 20-foot cord that she could walk from room to room with, and that was mom on the phone. And we had an updated, you know, modern one where you pushed buttons, you didn't do the rotary thing. Well, that was the old days, and preachers were preaching against women watching sitcoms. Those, you know, Days of Our Lives or whatever those shows were on during the day while your husband was at work and talking on the phone too much. And they were saying the drunks in church who are trying to get that thing, that mess straightened up, the cigarette smokers who are trying to get that mess straightened up. I'm not saying those things are okay. I'm saying there are some sins that beset you that affect you and those the closest to you. There are other sins that permeate the whole of the church, that permeate your mindset, that bring a spirit into the assembly, a spirit of the devil, a spirit of bondage and influence where God, the Holy Spirit, can't move anymore in the church. And that spirit was somebody, even one person, that was into the personal lives of everybody else. Now, you have entire congregations, children, and men, God help us, that are more concerned about everybody else's lives than they are about their own walk with Jesus Christ. No wonder our churches are dead and dry and everybody's messed up. You are going to have more and more problems with psychological disorders. You're going to have more and more problems with depression. You're going to have more and more problems until God's people learn to tune out of everybody else's business, to do your own business, to work with your own hands. Listen, it's all through your New Testament. God expects us to get personal with Him and to walk with Him. And as long as we continue to be programmed by the world, we won't be able to walk with God. Now, I'm not asking you to throw away your smartphones. I got one. And it is a handy tool. And they aren't going away. And I'm not asking you to not care about your brothers and sisters in Christ and not, preacher, I don't want to be a gossip, but let's not go so far the other direction. You understand? What I am asking you to consider is, how much time do you spend on the internet? You figured that out this week when the internet went out on Friday, amen? How much time you spend on your phone and how much time you spend with Jesus? Because this woman found the help she needed when she spent a little bit of time with Jesus. And you and I can find the help we need if we'd spend a little bit more time with Jesus Christ. I don't care what your problem is. Some of your problems are so bad they can't be fixed. That's the perfect problem to take to Jesus. Because folks, He can fix anything. This woman shows up to the Lord. She got her help, number one, by being there. By being there. If you ain't ever there, how's Jesus going to help you? Hey, you know why I come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Because I'm more messed up than the rest of you. Well, you're the pastor. He's the very... Hey, listen. The Bible says God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. How do you not know I am not the weakest Christian in here? Well, pastor, you've grown spiritually. Well, maybe I have, and maybe that's true. God and I only know. Not going to tell. But maybe God chooses the most likely to fail. Maybe God chooses the one that without Him would have been in prison, that without Him would have been on drugs, that without Him would have already been dead, to show that if God can do it in the preacher, God can do it in anybody. Maybe that's what it is. I'm here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm not browbeating you about that. Never had, not going to start. But I'm telling you, I'm messed up. So I want to be there. Because when I'm there, I can get some help. But if I ain't there, how am I going to get help? Can I say it doesn't just apply to church? How are you going to get help from the Lord tomorrow morning with the world you have to face, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning, and Friday morning, and Saturday morning, if you don't show up? We're not Catholic. We don't have church every day of the week. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. If you're saved, you can go right to Him. And you've got to show up in His presence every day of your life. There's not one day that ought to go by where you don't have communication with God, where He can't talk to you and you can't talk to Him. Not one day in your life. You will stay bound up if you don't learn to get in His presence. Just be there. Number two, she did something else. When she showed up for one purpose. In verse 10, He was teaching. No, that's the end of the point. You're waiting for me to finish. I'm done. She showed up to learn something. I don't see anything in the text that says she was hoping to get healed. She'd probably come to the point where she said, this is my burden to bear. I'm always going to have this problem. I'm always going to struggle with alcohol, but I'm still going to get there. I'm always going to struggle with cigarettes, but I'm still going to get there. I may always struggle with my mind, but I'm still going to get there. I may always have these issues in my life, but I'm still going to get there. I may always have a problem with my gossiping tongue, my envying spirit, the bitterness in my heart, my critical nature, but I'm still going to get where Jesus is, because just maybe I'll hear something today I haven't heard before. Maybe He'll speak to me today and help me out just a little bit more. I might leave a little better than I came. I'm going there because Jesus is teaching something. I'm not quitting just because I'm struggling. Problem with too many Christians today. Yeah, I talked about it last Sunday. You don't want to be a hypocrite. So you make a bigger hypocrite out of yourself. Come join the rest of the... We're going to look at a bad hypocrite in a minute. Come join the rest of us hypocrites. Because we're just looking for a little bit of help. She comes in there, and she's sitting down. She's probably like this, trying to see Him. You know what's pretty sweet about Jesus? Well, He's up there teaching, and there's all these people there. You know who He spots? The one who's hurting the most. I really appreciate that about the Lord. When nobody else can see your pain, you know what He does? He spots it. When nobody else would care about your pain, you know what He does? He cares. You know, he think about a righteous, perfect, holy God. He wasn't looking at that woman to criticize her. There was no cancer in His body. There was no sickness in His body. He was perfect. And there He was, And what does he do? He spots that woman. The third reason she got help, she showed up. She showed up to hear something, not to get anything. And you know what else? She had the humility that when he called her, now in front of everybody, she came forth. He said, hey. She had the humility to say, oh, I'm messed up. I'm not as good as all the rest of these people. I can't walk as straight as they can. None of them have ever had the problems I have. Yeah, I'm the outcast. Nobody cares. Nobody, but Jesus just said, come here. So guess what I'm doing? I'm coming. You know what the problem with most of us is? We don't get help because we can't admit we need help. Or if we get to the point where we admit we need help, we're not willing to put ourselves in a position of being mocked by others or looked at by others or recognized as the one that really needed help. We got to divorce ourselves from our own pride in order to not stay messed up. Your pride will keep you bound when there is absolutely no reason for it. Can I just say this, church? This ought to be the friendliest, most comfortable and comforting place for messed up people to come to get some help. Amen. When they want help. I don't like the spirit of arrogance and of pride in church that looks down our nose at people that are messed up. If they want to stay messed up, this ain't the place for them. But if they're messed up and they're wanting to hear, they're willing to show up, and they're wanting to get straightened up, then we ought to be a place where they can come and feel loved, even if they've been with us for a long time. They ought to still be able to say, I'm going to go back, and then people are going to understand and love me because I'm giving my heart back to the Lord. The reason most people stay messed up is the reason most of the people in this passage stayed messed up. Look at verse 14. The indignation of religion will keep you messed up. The ruler of the synagogue answered with what? Indignation. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath. Do you see that? That woman just got healed. He laid his hands on her in verse number 12. He looses her from her infirmity. Verse 13, he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was straight and glorified God. I mean, she is like, he touched her. Oh, she's like, oh my word. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And this jerk. What a jerk. Well, you think that was really real? He gets up and he's going to rebuke everybody in the church. He stands up at the temple and he says, hey, on the 6 days ought men to work and not on the Sabbath. If you want to be healed, don't come get healed on Saturday, on Sunday, on Saturday, the Sabbath. Get healed on the other 6 days of the week. That's the insanity of religion. It is absolutely insane. You know what religion does? Because this is the religious ruler. You know what religion will do to you? It will work hand in hand with the devil to keep you bound. If you haven't noticed, we're not into religion around here. We're into a relationship. We're not into vain repetitions. We're into relationship. This thing is absolutely 100% real. The problem is most Christians today get saved because they realize, look, I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if they get saved, it starts out as a relationship. But once they grow in their doctrine, something weird goes on in the human spirit, in the human nature, where all of a sudden you switch from relationship into religion. Well, I'm already saved. Now, well, we believe the King James Bible. Okay, good. And we believe in baptism after salvation by immersion, like the Bible teaches, like Christ did. Okay, good. And we believe in, we do the Lord's Supper. Okay, good. And we believe in rightly dividing the word of truth, salvation by grace through faith. Okay, good for you. Well, my belief system is, Well, our church teaches. Whoa. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go right back into being messed up again. Because all of a sudden now, your statement of faith, your doctrinal system, which are 100% crucial to who we are as a church and who you are as a believer, you need to know what you believe and why. I'm not saying we throw that stuff away. I'm saying our belief system does not replace the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our relationship.
Right.
What happens is once we learn our doctrine, we start getting that hoity-toity attitude of we're better than other people. And this is how we do it. And if the Holy Spirit rocks the boat at all, that's not okay. Wait a minute. It's not supposed to be done that way. That's not how we do it at our church. Lady, go somewhere else and get some help, because around here, you know, God might choose to help somebody in this church that you don't like. I'm sorry, but the Holy Spirit doesn't stop by my office and say, look, Mike, I really want you to help this guy. He's coming Sunday morning. You might not like him, so should I send him up the road or do you want to help him? You'll never know. I'm just kidding. You guys realize when we start getting in our religious rut and we lose our relationship with the Lord, we start looking at people that are bound up that God wants to help the wrong way. And one of the ways you know you're in a religious rut and not walking with Jesus Christ like you are, you're starting to get all bound up, is when you start looking at this world and looking at, folks, I'm telling you right now, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Some people are wrapped up in some heinous sins. Some people are wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and wicked sins of immorality that the Bible says are wicked, and that ain't changed. But let me tell you something. It's a different world. Do you realize some people get all bound up in some of those sins because of abuse in their own past when they were too little to defend themselves? How come we don't ever stop and think about that after the Lord straightened our life up and we're walking right and we look at that woman saying, we don't want that kind around here. We don't want to help that one. There's 6 days a man ought to, not on the seventh. You know what God says? You hypocrite. Why? Oh, when your ox or your ass falls in the ditch on the Sabbath, you think it's all right to go get that thing out. But there's a soul here and you don't want me to help them? You know what relationship shows us? When we're being hypocritical. You know what indignation of religion will do? It will create a hypocrisy in you that is a real demonic and wicked hypocrisy. That hypocrisy is one not of a person trying to do right and continually failing and feeling like, man, guilt and oppression, like we saw in Hezekiah in the book of Isaiah. The oppression and the depression of my sin and the judgment on my sin, and I'm trying to do right and I'm trying to walk before the Lord, but I keep messing up and I feel like a hypocrite. That's a total different hypocrisy than the hypocrisy of one who does not recognize their hypocrisy. They look at the sins of others and recognize, well, I'm walking straight, I'm walking right, I'm a clean living, I'm a man who abides by the law, I keep the Sabbath, I'm holy. And the Lord says, you stinking hypocrite. You'll take care of your money and you'll take care of your property, but you don't want me to take care of somebody who can't help themselves. Religion. Church, I don't want BBC to turn into a place of religion. I don't want to get the attitude of, well, our church doesn't do it that way. If you go visit other places, praise the Lord, whatever, it's your business. And if you don't like the way they do things, good. I'm glad you're coming home.
Amen.
But don't get this attitude that we're better than somebody else because the way we do things. You know, if we're walking straight, it's because somebody straightened us up. If we got anything here that's special and that's of God, and I believe we do, it ain't because of us. It's because of Him. The indignation of religion. You know what it does? It hides behind righteousness. He says, you're doing something wrong. Come and be healed on the Sabbath day. The Lord says in verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond
on the Sabbath? He said Satan has bound her. Satan has messed her up. Shouldn't she get some help?
Keep your finger here in Luke chapter 13. Go back to Isaiah. I asked you to hold that earlier. Hopefully that you did, or you can find it quickly. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. You know what religion is? It's cold and uncaring about the individual needs of people. Did you hear that? Religion is cold and uncaring about the personal and individual needs of people. It's about how we do things and why we do things. It's about what we believe and why we believe them, and not about helping somebody. Look at what the Lord says in Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Well, see, it's her own fault. Yeah, you're right. Pharisee. Well, they wouldn't be in that mess if they... Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. You stinking hypocrite. You ever look at somebody that's in a mess? Come on. You ever see somebody in a mess? And you ever find yourself saying, well, it's their own fault they're in that mess? I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they're not thinking. They weren't thinking. The devil got on them. And who here thinks they're strong enough to fight the devil yourself? If the devil ain't ever pushed you to that point, you have somebody to thank for that, but it ain't yourself. Old-time preacher one time says, bring me a devil my size and I'll whoop him. Can I say I don't recommend or advise that kind of speech? That same preacher lost his whole family to the devil. His whole family. Oh, you're man enough to handle it. All right, well, he knows right where to hit you. He might let you go on with that and say, all right, I'll have your kids then. Be careful. The devil bound him up. Yeah. Some people are messed up. Some of you this morning are messed up because of the mistakes you've made. Okay. What does God have to say about that? I find it super interesting what the Lord says in verse 1. Comfort ye my people. When you walk in, messed up by the world, messed up by the devil, messed up by your own dumb decisions, and you're all bent over, and you got the right heart, and you got the right attitude, and you know you're messed up, and you come in, and you see if Jesus is there, and what he might say, and you're willing to say, I'm messed up. I'm just here because he's here, and I just want to hear from him. You know what he says? Comfort him. Comfort him. I hate to say this because it goes completely against my nature, but the Lord, I believe, has showed me this. In this generation, if we're going to reach the lost world, we're going to need to reach them by comfort, by love. The day was you could dangle them over hell on a spider web, you know, on a shoestring. And they'd heard preaching their whole life, and they knew right and wrong, and grandma went to church, and mom and dad went to church, and there was a Bible on the table at home, and they knew they were sinners, and they knew what sin was. Nowadays, you live in a day and age where they're so bound up, and they're so confused, and they're so messed up, and they feel no love at all. No love at all. You see the way some of these dads, and I blame the dads, let their little 14 and 15-year-old girls walk out of the house dressed, the way they let them post Instagram and selfies, and I'm thinking, what in the world are you thinking, man? Right. I'm talking to dad. I know what the little dummy's thinking. Yeah. I'm talking of dad, like, what are you thinking, dad? Don't you know what kind of creeps are out there? What kind of guys are looking at your kid? How they can stalk online? Stuff scares me, man. We sit back and we looked at this absolutely messed up world. You know, this world doesn't know what love is. Most of the parents are too busy
on their phones when they're home, on their Facebook accounts when they're home, too busy working multiple careers to have the American dream, too busy in their own personal lives trying to deal with their own problems to even know how to treat their kids, how to give their kids time and attention. You know what these little kids are looking for? You know what these young girls nowadays are looking for? They're looking for something real. They're looking for somebody that will love them. Somewhere where they can go where they're safe. Where somebody loves them in a way that's not selfish, not for their own benefit, for them. You know where they're not going to find it? In the world. And you know what their first reaction to you coming along like a blood-sucking, street-preaching, King James Bible-throwing, screaming and yelling, and you know what their first reaction to that's going to be? You know they're not going to know how to handle themselves if you show them true Christian love and comfort. When somebody comes and wants to get right with God and is trying to get their life turned around, we ought to be able to comfort them. Sin leaves scars. They're carrying pain, the pain of bad decisions, the pain of failed marriages, the pain of messed up children, the pain of a messed up mind, messed up emotions. You know what they need? Comfort. You know what the Lord says in Isaiah? Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. You know what you need this morning? Even though you're saved, I can be a lot harder on you in my preaching than you can on the lost world nowadays. I'm not saying we're not tough. We're tough. We see all kinds of stuff that people in that years ago never saw unless they went to war. You're raised on it. You're tough. You can take straight talk. But you know what you need too? You need some comfort. I've messed up. Yeah, you probably did. You probably had a bad week. You probably said, thought, and did some things this week you should not have said, thought, or done. You probably failed. Some of you probably viewed things you shouldn't have viewed. And you know what the devil does? He wants to keep you bound up and keep you focused on all that stuff and keep you pressed down and keep you bound up by focusing on your failure. Jesus says, if you'll come to me, I can take care of you and I can comfort you. You know what religion will do? The indignation of right and wrong. It'll keep you from getting help. It'll keep you messed up, and it'll keep other people messed up if you're that guy, because what they don't need is your self-righteous strut. They need a heart that cares about them. I will never forget, I said to this guy who was about, I don't know, 20, 21 years old. I said to him, have a good day, sir. He said, what? And I turned around and I said, have a good day, sir. He was sitting down. I was standing. I was walking out. He goes, what did you call me? I said, sir. Because his face, I thought we were going to have us an issue. You know what I mean? He said, nobody's ever called me that in my life. I said, well, you're a grown man, aren't you? How old are you in 2021? I said, yeah, you're a grown man, aren't you? He said, yeah. Guess I am. I sure hope I act like one. I hope so. I said, have a good day. And I walked out. I was laughing and I walked out. And it hit me. Nobody's ever treated him like that. I wonder what he's heard his whole life. I know he has issues. He definitely messed up. Wants to fight everybody he sees. But I wonder why. Folks, we need to learn not to have the indignation of religion, but learn how to comfort people. Look at verse 28 in Isaiah chapter 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He said you're going to get weak. He said you're going to mess up. He said you're going to fall. He knows that about your human nature, about your sin nature. Watch this. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what happens when you don't give up, when you don't quit? Before you know it, man, you're back in again. All of a sudden, before you know it, yeah, I got bound up again, Lord. I got kind of messed up. Lord, I got a little oppressed. God, the weight began to push me down again, Lord. But hey, I didn't quit. I kept coming. I walked in there all bound up to sit down again to hear another sermon, thinking I was going to walk out still bound up again. And this time, Lord, hey, praise God, this time, Lord, I'm encouraged again. I'm fired up again. I'm excited again about serving God. Hey, I'm ready to get back out there and get back in the fight. Why? Because I didn't quit. I didn't let that bound up thing hold me back. I got in there to hear something from the Lord. I sat there to get something. When He talked to me, I was humble enough to respond and say, yeah, I got an issue. And He touched me again. When you go through your weak times, continue the proper behavior patterns. Why? Because the right end will come. The right end will come. I do right sometimes just because it's right to do, not because I feel like it. Hypocrite. I'd rather be that hypocrite than a religious hypocrite. Isaiah chapter 42. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. Here's a prophecy of the Lord. Look at verse 5, Isaiah 42, 5. Thus saith the Lord, God, the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Well, there it is. Wait a minute. And will hold thine hand. You know what I get a picture of? I get a picture of a father with a little kid. That's what it is. How am I going to do this? How am I going to get straightened up? I'm all bound up. I'm all burdened. I'm all struggling. I got all these issues. He called you to righteousness. Are you saved? All right, then it's His righteousness. You know what He'll do? He'll hold your hand. Hey, a daddy don't get ashamed of his kid. Just because a parent has a kid with issues doesn't mean that parent's like, get away from me. I don't want anybody to know you're mine. Come on, man. No, not a true parent. You're a parent, your heavenly Father, He cares about you. He'll hold your hand. He'll help you and will keep thee. Praise the Lord for that, man. I'm telling you, praise the Lord for that. I've seen so many preachers fall. I was thinking about one this morning while I was getting ready and looking this stuff over. There's one sitting in federal prison right now. Not a little pastor from a little church somewhere, a big pastor, a big name, a big shot, sitting in federal prison with years to go. Wife filed for a divorce. And only a stinking Pharisee would sit there and go, yeah, he had it coming. I think what he did was wrong, and I think he deserves to be where he is because he sinned against other people, and what he did was absolutely wrong. But for the grace of God, because you backslide enough, you stay bound up long enough, you walk away from God far enough, and you can do anything anybody else has ever done. Right. Scares the fire out of me. No. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for passages like this. He'll keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. Watch it. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. You know what He said? Let go of your graven images and come to Me. Back in Luke chapter 13, please. Let go of your graven images and come to Me. Let go of your religion and come to Me. Forget about all that you worship and all that you know and all that you love. Just come to Me. Why? I'll set you free. I'll straighten you up. I'll help you out. Most people stay up because they're too religious. Most people stay messed up because they're too religious. Most people stay messed up because they're ignorant of the truth. Look at verse 18. Then said He, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it.
And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then ye shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. You know why most people stay messed up? Number one, because they get caught up in religion and the indignation of their religion. They begin to get self-righteous. Number two, because they're ignorant of truth. You know what the Lord just did right there? He just tried to help that Pharisee and all the religious people that were sitting there by giving them some truth. You know what most people do? Completely miss the truth. You know, some of you got problems this morning. Big problems. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to teach you a little something. He wants to give you the tools it takes to unlock the issue. You know, most people aren't interested in learning. They don't really want to know. He begins to teach something really small and really simple, which is why most people miss it, because everybody wants the big, extravagant, fancy, showy stuff. He said, what's the kingdom of God like? Now, you know what the kingdom of God is, right? According to Romans, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Does that sound good to anybody? Righteousness. That means that what you do is right. Not wrong. There's no regret. There's no guilt. Number two, peace. Sound good? There ain't nothing like peace, folks. I mean, that storm that's going on in your heart and in your mind all the time, and all that frustration and all that worry and all those anger and all those hurts and all that stuff. You want some peace? How about joy? Where you're happy. She's not in here, so I'll talk about her. One of our particular children. That kid, like, it's rare that she's ever sad or depressed about anything. I mean, when it's a beautiful day, it's like, oh, look at the sunshine. I love sunshine. We had that storm come through Friday night. A couple of the other girls were scared. You know what she was doing? She was in the middle of the little family room there up front, because we were sitting there watching a storm, and she was going, I'm a tornado! And throwing herself at her other sisters and just laughing. I love storms. This is so awesome. I'm a tornado. Now, that's joy. I mean, like, when everything's going to come down outside, the internet's out, no movies, it's a Friday night, you're ruining our Friday night, and she's just like having a riot. What I want in the storms of life, I want to be spinning around in the living room saying, I'm a tornado. You know where that comes from? A little tiny seed that's put in the ground and that you water and you allow it to grow. He says when that little tiny seed's put in the ground, you know, folks, you know what seed that is? Put the Bible in you. See, it doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always make sense. Every time you read, it's not overly exciting. But when you put those seeds in and put those seeds in and keep putting those seeds in and keep putting those seeds in and keep trying and keep learning and keep growing, you know what that thing does? Over years, stuff begins to come together. And in your heart will grow that righteousness, that peace, and that joy in the Holy Ghost. For too long, too much preaching in churches was all against sin, and I'm for preaching against sin. But what happens is when we focus on sin all the time, all we see is the sin. Why don't we try switching it up just a little bit? Let's get our hearts and our minds off of the sin. Some of you have sin you're dealing with, and you want it to stop. Here's a comfort for you. Let's get our hearts and minds off the sin, off the pain, off the messed up, and let's start getting our eyes on the light of the Word of God and on who Jesus Christ is, and start getting that book into us and put it in and keep putting it in and keep reading and keep growing. Just come and sit down and see if he'll tell you something. The more you put this in, the more it'll squeeze that out. You don't get rid of darkness in the morning by trying to push all the darkness out of your room. Anybody get up this morning and grab a squeegee and start trying to squeeze the darkness out of your room? What do you do to get the darkness out? You turn the light on. It's that simple? Yeah, it's that simple. You know, he is. He's the light. Ignorance of truth will keep you bound up. You know what the problem is? Most people don't want to turn that light on because they're so scared of death of what the Lord's going to show them. Last thing, and we'll be done, keeps people bound up. Look down there at the end, look at verse 31. There came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart. Depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. I love the Lord's response. I love this response. This shows you Jesus wasn't that little, you know, girly man with long red hair and long dangly fingers and his rainbows floating around him. Look at his response. He said to them, go tell ye that fox. Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. They said, you better run, because Herod's coming, and Herod's mad. He said, you go tell that sucker something for me. Here's what I'm going to do, and here's how I'm going to do it. He can't have my life until I lay it down. Who does he think he is? You know what keeps most people from getting straightened up? The impotence. That means powerlessness. Of politics. I'm not talking about Fox News and, you know, Washington, D.C. I'm talking about human politics. I'm talking about your friends, your family members, the opinions of others will keep you from getting help when you need it. Oh, you know what they're going to do? Oh, they're going to get mad. So what? Let them get mad. They're going to kill you. Well, you know what? Nowadays, they'll threaten you with harm. I had a great week, man. Not only did we have two people saved, but then I think it was Wednesday, I got cussed out. It's a great week for me. No, I'm serious. Like, I mean, you blankety blank you, Mike. Blank, you know, it's always pastor when they want money. Pastor, hey, pastor. When they want money, right? And then when they don't get what they want, it's Mike, blankety blank you, I'm calling every felon in South Lyon and telling them they ain't welcome at your church. I said, go ahead. I'm posting it on Facebook. I'm posting it on the internet. I'm going to let every felon know you don't like felons. Blankety blank you. I said, what did you say? I was sitting there in my chair. I was thinking, this is awesome. This hasn't happened in forever, man. I mean, good night. I'm right with God again. Woo! Lord's going to do something because this is how it was for about 5 years straight starting this work. Ask my wife. And I said, my decision is final. Blankety blank you! How come you don't have nothing to say? My decision is final. When somebody wants to stay bound up and likes their binding up and is looking for other people they can hurt while they're hurt, they're not welcome here. You can't have crimes against kids and be non-compliant with the law and think you're going to walk in here and pull the God card on me. You got $5? Yep, but not for you. Amen. They'll threaten you. They'll yell at you. You know what I said to him? I said, you can't hurt me. What did you mean by that? You can't hurt me. In what way? Well, anyway. Yeah, amen. Hey, God's got to sign off on it if he does.
So guess what? I ain't worried about the threats and the impotence of politics. Men will say what they want. They'll do what they want. They'll criticize you. They'll try to hold you back. They'll tell you you did it the wrong way. It don't matter so long as you got the power of God on your life and His hand is touching you and straightening up your mess. Let them talk. What are they going to do? What are you going to do? You going to shoot me? First of all, if you really had it, you wouldn't be acting like you're acting. That's what I want to say. You're one of those guys that likes to run his yap but won't back it up. I know that by looking at your stinking squirrely eyes. Number two, even if you are man enough to back it up, you're just going, what, are you going to send me to heaven? You're threatening me with heaven. You get the point, folks? We got a power. We got something. We got the God of the universe, Jesus Christ Himself. Hey, when you got Him, you don't have to be afraid of what man may do unto you. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Jesus Christ said, I will die when I'm ready. And I ain't ready yet, so just get out of here. I'm doing what's right. Most people stay bound up because they're worried about what everybody else in the synagogue is going to say. They're worried about what their friends and their family members and the politicians of the day are going to do. Don't you ever make decisions between you and God, especially you younger people. Don't you ever make decisions you have to live with because of what one of your stupid friends says. Amen. Oh, you're a coward. You know what? Listen, throat punch them. Before you do the drugs to prove you're man enough, throat punch them. Yeah, you burn out. Who's the man? Who's scared? I'm not scared. I care about my health. Yeah. I'm not scared. I care about my walk with God. I'm not scared. I care about where my life's going to go in the future. I care about my children in the future. I care about my relationship with Almighty God. He straightened me up. I ain't letting you bind me up because of your stupid opinions and your stupid politics. We ought to have some character, folks. Say, it don't matter what other people say or what other people think or what other people are going to do. It matters what the Lord wants done. And Jesus Christ knew God wanted him preaching there, and Herod wasn't going to run him out of town. Somebody that's got that kind of determination, they're going to get some help. Look at verse 17. We'll close the message here. And when he had said these things, after he rebuked that stupid Pharisee, all his adversaries were ashamed. You see that? Christian, the day is coming when all the adversaries of your Savior are going to be ashamed before Him at His coming. They will mock you now. They will make fun of you now. They will hold you back now. Just a quick thought on that. Maybe some of the people that are trying to hold you back the most are the ones that are the closest to following you if they see it's real. And it scares them, and that's why they try to hold you back. You never know. Regardless, his adversaries will be ashamed, but watch this. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I could say this. I'm going to say it hypothetically. Please don't do it right now. But you could look around this room. You know what you got? A bunch of messed up people. Amen. One of the things I love about our church is there really isn't a mold. You know what we need to make sure as we raise our children who will tend to gravitate more to that mold since they grew up here? We need to make sure we raise some kids that are reaching people. So there never becomes a mold. You know what you got? A bunch of people that were like this. Some of us still are like this. And they go, man, God's done some awesome things. Well, yeah, I know the Lord straightened up your back, but now look what you got. Yeah, I know. He did that before, so I'm going to keep showing up, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to ask Him to help me, and I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to stay faithful, because since He fixed that one, I know He can fix this one. Hey, I got a great God, a great Savior, and I got a reason this morning to rejoice. Even if I may have some problems today that have not yet fixed themselves, I know my Savior, and I know how good He is, and I know He can take care of me. He might let it go on for 18 15 years, but the only reason he does that is so you can see what he can do, no matter how long it's been and how heavy it's been and how dark it's been and how hard it's been. He's going to show his glory, and we're going to get to rejoice in him if we allow him to put his hand on us. And that's what I want this morning, and that's what I want for you this morning. We've seen some people with some physical issues. We've seen God. We've heard lost people say that was Jesus. You know what else we got? Some people this morning with some spiritual issues. And you know what you need to say before you leave here this morning? Feel better. That was Jesus. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.